Due to a technical difficulty, the first minute or so of this sermon by David Hilson is not available. We had just sung While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night, and David had posed the question as to why shepherds. We're focusing on them and why they were the first to arrive at this stable scene in Bethlehem. Luke starts by suggesting there are shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks. In first century Palestine, the Jew would have known obviously why they were watching their flocks. But to us, it doesn't quite mean anything. But imagine if they'd said there were gamekeepers living out in the woods near Balmoral, keeping watch over their pheasants at night. We'd know what that meant, exactly. We'd know who they were, and where they were, and why they were there.
Now, all of us would go, well, obviously, wouldn't we? Because there's lots of things, there's lots of points of reference for us in that, you know. So these are not just any old woods. These are the woods outside Balmoral. And so we go, oh, yeah, well, we know the woods outside Balmoral. They're special, aren't they? Why are they special? They belong to the Queen. We all know that, don't we? So this is the Queen's woods. And that means that these weren't just any old pheasants. What was special about these pheasants? What's special about them? They're the Queen's pheasants, and what are they being kept for? What's their purpose? The shoot. So they are there to be shot, which you may have a view about. Let's not get into the whole sort of hunt. I hope there's no saboteurs here who are going to throw things. But these are special pheasants. They belong to the Queen. They're in the Queen's woods, and their purpose is to be there for the game season. And so these are not just any old gamekeepers. These gamekeepers have a special role. Their job is to look after the pheasants on behalf of the Queen so that when the shoot comes, the pheasants are ready. Now, we all know that, don't we? We go, yeah, well, obviously, when you hear that there are gamekeepers in the woods outside Balmoral, they're looking after their pheasants, and they're keeping them safe at night time so nobody comes and steals them or shoots them, or they don't get foxes and so on. So then when we go back to what Luke said, these things had exact parallels to the people that Luke was writing to. So when he said there were shepherds in the fields outside, well, obviously, because these were not just any old fields. Just like the woods outside Balmoral belong to someone special, well, the first century readers would know, well, obviously, the fields outside Bethlehem belong to someone special. And these aren't just any old flocks. They're there for a reason. These are special sheep and lambs. And these, therefore, are not just any old shepherds. These shepherds have a very particular role. Well, obviously. And they would all just know that. And we don't, do we? Well, maybe you do. But maybe you don't. And it's important for us to understand that when we think about these places, they meant something to people when they were first written. So what kind of fields were these? The fields outside Bethlehem belonged to the family of the chief priest. That's interesting. So they were the priest's fields. And in those fields, there were special sheep. Not just any old sheep. These were the sheep that were destined to go to the temple for the sacrifice, the temple in Jerusalem. Bethlehem is about 6 miles away from Jerusalem. And part of the temple ritual was was animal sacrifice. This is 2,000 years ago. We wouldn't do it that way these days, but that's what was done. And people would take animals to the temple as part of their offering. We'll talk about that a little bit in a moment. So these flocks were intended to be taken down to Jerusalem for the sacrifice. And part of the sacrifice was to have perfect lambs. Lambs that weren't damaged, that weren't injured, that weren't disabled. They were perfect and would be there for the people to sacrifice. And so the shepherds have a very particular role. These were not just any old shepherds. These are the shepherds who are working in the fields that belong to the family of the chief priest, who are there to look after the sheep and the lambs which are intended to go to the temple. And they have a very particular job. Their job is to inspect the lambs to make sure that they're perfect. The job of the shepherds is to inspect the lambs to make sure they're perfect. Think about that. We might just come back to that in a moment. Once you know that, then it sets the whole context for why shepherds. Why did shepherds get this amazing message from the angels? Why did the shepherds get sent to the manger in Bethlehem to see the baby Jesus? Why were they the first to arrive? It unpacks a whole set of new insights for us on, into what was going on in Bethlehem on that first Christmas night. So let's just unpack some of those insights, shall we? Some of those things that come from this idea that these were special shepherds looking after special lambs in a special place. So the shepherds had a particular job. As I said, the Jewish religion taught that every human being was separated from God because they had failed to live right. And we've heard about that in some of those Old Testament readings from the Jewish scriptures. This means that every person, because they haven't lived right, will be judged by God and will be condemned to eternity without God in hell. That's what the Jewish faith taught. That's actually what Christians believe as well. The only way to make things right with God through the Jewish religion was through animal sacrifice, in which there was an innocent animal killed in the temple in the place of the person who should have been killed because of their own wrongdoing. And God would accept the animal in place of the person, and the person would be forgiven. And that didn't really solve the problem, of course, because even though you kept going and sacrificing animals, people just kept doing things wrong. So they had to keep going back again and again with more and more animals. And as we'll see later on, killing an animal doesn't really solve the problem. It's not the ultimate solution to people's wrong hearts, the reason that all of us do things wrong. Killing an animal will never really get us forgiveness. True forgiveness requires something much more serious, much more significant than that. But lots of animals were needed for sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. They had to be perfect, and most of them were going to be lambs. In fact, the Jewish law required that two lambs had to be sacrificed every single day, one in the morning and one in the evening. So that's going to be 730 lambs, is that, every year? Two a day? And then at Passover, every family in Israel had to go to the temple and they had to make an offering. And for most of them, that offering was going to be a lamb. And there were thousands, tens of thousands of people who went to Jerusalem every year for Passover. So that's tens of thousands of lambs. This is an industrial scale farming operation to produce tens of thousands of perfect lambs, yes, less than a year old. And so there was a system to do that. And the system was that the fields outside Bethlehem, which belonged to the chief priests and their families, were where the lambs would be reared. And it's interesting that it's Bethlehem where King David was brought up. King David was a shepherd. He would look after sheep in these very fields. As we heard in the reading, he was the one who designed the temple under God's instruction, although it was built by his son. So he built the temple in Jerusalem, and he knew that the fields in Bethlehem were a good place to look after sheep, and that's where the sheep all were brought up by tradition to be sacrificed at the temple. This is quite interesting. And it's also interesting that when the people got to the temple for Passover and they were supposed to bring a perfect lamb, sometimes they might try and bring their own, because then they bring a lamb with them for the sacrifice. The priests would then inspect the lamb and say, usually, not good enough. You need one of our special lambs, and you'll have to buy it here. And in fact, you can't buy it with your own ordinary money. You have to buy it with temple money. And so you'll have to exchange your ordinary money for temple money to buy the special temple lamb. So the sacrifices were actually not free. Anybody who wanted to make a sacrifice at the temple at Passover probably had to pay through the nose for it. And I think that's, again, quite interesting in this whole sort of setup where the idea of the sacrifice was to make forgiveness from God possible and reconciliation with God possible. People had to pay for it, and they had to pay a lot. And they were probably cheated in the doing, which was when Jesus threw all the money changers out of the temple and said, you're all a lot of robbers. Terrible. So all these lambs came from Bethlehem, about 6 miles away from Jerusalem, a rural community where people have been farming for ages, way back from the time of King David onwards. And these are special fields that belong to the priests. The priests are not farmers, so they employed shepherds to raise the sheep for them. And the shepherd's job was to make sure when newborn lambs were born, then they would inspect them to make sure that they were perfect and suitable for sacrifice. Interesting. That gave the shepherds a problem. Because the problem with the shepherds is that in the course of their job, when they were looking after sheep, and looking after the, you know, it's actually quite a tough job being a shepherd. I think Jez used to be a shepherd, didn't you? Did you look after cows? Okay, well, similar. They're a bit bigger, but same sort of. The problem with giving, and my father-in-law's a dairy farmer. You know, gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning and gives birth to the. Well, he doesn't give birth to them, but he gets the chains out, and it's quite difficult. And you know, the problem is that the Jewish law was very clear. To go and offer an offering in the temple, you had to be clean. You had to be ritually and ceremonially clean. That meant you weren't allowed to touch a dead body. You weren't allowed to touch blood. You weren't allowed to touch feces. And if you're a shepherd or a farmer of any sort with animals, you'll know you can't avoid that. So the shepherds employed by the priests to prepare these animals for sacrifice that people had to pay for to get right with God, they were permanently, ritually unclean. They were not allowed anywhere near the temple, and later on they're not allowed in synagogues either, because they are always not clean enough, not good enough to approach God. So that gives them a problem. They are banned from the temple. And yet they are the ones, it's quite ironic, isn't it? They're the ones who are preparing the sacrifice for everybody else. They can't get there to make their own sacrifice. So it's very difficult for them. They're not able to get into the place where everybody else wants to be. They're not allowed to approach God. They're not allowed to go to that place where they themselves could find peace and reconciliation for their own wrongdoings. And that's why the people in society, in that particular society, looked down on shepherds and didn't respect them, basically said that they were really sort of seen really low. They were viewed as outcasts permanently outside of what everybody else was able to do. In fact, there's some tradition which describes, it's actually advice in the Jewish oral tradition, advice to fathers in bringing up your sons. And this is the advice, it's written in the Mishnah. Don't teach your son to be an ass driver, a camel driver, a barber, a sailor, or a shepherd, or a shopkeeper. These are all the trades of thieves. So we might say nowadays a taxi driver, a truck driver, a hairdresser. But a shepherd, interesting. And they were just, you know, the lowest of the low. It's not much of a job description, is it, to say when you go down the pub and people say, so what do you do? I'm a shepherd. Oh, really? Lock up your daughters. Here come the shepherds. So these guys, although they had a very particular role, they were not respected at all. And they had this problem that of everybody in the whole of Jewish society, they weren't allowed into the temple to offer their own sacrifices. No way to God for a shepherd. They were used to being ignored, insulted, abused, rejected. That's why they lived in the fields with their sheep. If you remember, it said that verse from Luke. They were living in the fields, abiding in the fields with their flocks by night. No one else wanted to know them. So that's what they were used to. But this particular night, they were in for a surprise, in for a shock, in for a completely life-changing experience. Because there they are, doing what they do, you know, doing it faithfully night after night, and they're out one night just looking after the sheep as they do, and an angel turns up. And I bet they were surprised, and they probably weren't particularly surprised like this. So I don't know if this is what you thought happened in the fields outside Bethlehem. Along comes the little cherub, and they go, oh, she's sweet. Actually it was something much more awesome, much more amazing. Some incredible supernatural being appears to them, surrounded by the radiance of heaven. Luke, who's writing this, is a medical doctor. He makes a rather unnecessary comment. He says they were terrified. Actually, in the Greek, it's very interesting. It says in the Greek, they were gripped with the fear of mega fear. So they actually, and that's the phrase, that's the actual word that's used in the Greek New Testament, mega fear. Ugh, what on earth is this? And it was pretty shattering. And then the angel gave them a personal message, a personalized message from the messenger of heaven. And he said this, apart from the words that all angels always start with, if you've ever seen an angel, you know they always start with this word, don't be afraid, because they're pretty awesome, they're pretty frightening when these things show up. They're not like the little cuddly cherubs. So they start with the obvious angel opening words, don't be afraid, it's okay. And then these words full of reassurance to these outcasts who are ritually unclean and unable to go to the temple. Don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. It's to you. I'm coming with news to you that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The angel emphasised that this message was meant for those shepherds in person. This is a message for you. God hasn't forgotten you, outcasts and the lowest of the low, out in the fields, ritually unclean. Nobody wants to know you. Nobody wants to talk to you. You can't get into the temple. Here comes the messenger from the right hand of God, the angel, the archangel Gabriel, who says, this is for you. I've got a message for you. Isn't that fantastic? And the announcement of the birth of Jesus was made first to the outcasts, the rejected, the worthless, the people who had no way. And that message was so amazing, it was followed by an outburst of joy from an army of angels, praising God and giving him glory. Wow. You don't see that every night out in the fields in Bethlehem or anywhere else, do you? That was something really special. And if we read on in that passage in Luke, the shepherds didn't just sit there. They were completely amazed, but they didn't just sit there gobsmacked and go, whoa. They said, right, we better go. We better get to Bethlehem and we'll better go and see what's happened. And it says they rushed over there. They didn't just wander down. They left the sheep. They rushed over to Bethlehem and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in a stable just like the angel had said. And they told them what they'd seen and they were pretty amazed too. The message that the angel had given to the shepherds. These men were discounted, rejected by the society of the day. They had a dirty job that made them religiously unclean, prevented them from approaching God, and these are the ones who go to see Jesus. Their job was really important, inspecting newborn lambs to ensure that they were suitable for sacrifice in the temple at Passover. And these are the ones that the angel came to and said, go and see. To you is born in the city of David a Saviour. You'll find him in the stable with the animals. They were the first on the scene, apart from Joseph and Mary. Is this just making you tingle a little bit? Isn't this amazing, the way God arranges things? All of this makes even more sense when we add one key insight into who Jesus was. We've heard a lot this morning about the titles of Jesus, about who he was, why he came. We've talked about him being king, about being priest, about being saviour, about being Lord. Here is one other insight into Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God. So his cousin John the Baptist, when he met him out in the desert and he was baptizing and Jesus turns up, he says, look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The first Christian theologian, Paul, in describing what Jesus did, he said, Christ is our Passover Lamb. Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. One of the other apostles, Peter, said, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or defect, a perfect lamb. Even 700 years before Jesus was born, one of the prophets, Isaiah, described his coming. He said, this Messiah will be like a lamb led to the slaughter. And later on, after Jesus had come, there was a person who was reading this in a chariot, and he met the disciple Philip and said, what's this passage all about? Who is this person who is led like a lamb to the slaughter? And Philip explained, that's Jesus. You'll find that in Acts chapter 8. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And so he has a special connection for the shepherds, the shepherds who had that particular role. Jesus was like the lambs. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the same place as the lambs for the temple. Just like those lambs, Jesus was destined to die Not just to die anywhere, but to die in Jerusalem. Not just anywhere in Jerusalem, but in Jerusalem at the Passover festival. Just like the lambs. And just like the lambs were a sacrifice for sin, so too Jesus died as a sacrifice for sin. One obviously really important difference is there were lots of lambs repeatedly sacrificed, trying to make atonement, trying to make a way back to God. But this, the sacrifice of Jesus was once and for everyone. That's obviously a key difference. But there's so many parallels. And the shepherds from the fields around Bethlehem, whose job was to inspect the newborn lambs, were sent by the angel to be the first to see Jesus at his birth. Isn't that truly amazing? So what does any of that mean for us today? Here's my question to you. I wonder if you might associate a little bit with these shepherds, now that you know a little bit more about them. When you look at the nativity scene and we see there are wise men, maybe you think that's you. You see angels, maybe you think that's you. You see a donkey, maybe. No. And then we see these shepherds and we think, oh, I could be a shepherd. If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb, all of that. You know, I couldn't really be a wise, but I could be a shepherd. Well, maybe you are a shepherd. Do you ever feel like this, that you're a bit on the edge? You don't really fit in the religious scene. You're not really acceptable. This isn't your natural place. You've kind of come because somebody's brought you, or it's Christmas, and, you know, this isn't my sort of... I'm not at home here. I don't belong here. Maybe you feel that you're not good enough. You know, you're banned. It's like, I can't approach God. I've got this dirty job, or I'm a dirty person. You know, I'm just not good enough. It's not for me. Or maybe you feel that there's no way for you to get in to where you have to get right with God. That's what the shepherds felt all the time. That was their common experience. And maybe we feel like that sometimes. But the angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news. A saviour has been born to you. And I think if you saw an angel this Christmas, not the one on the tree, but a real one, he'd probably say the same to you. This is good news for you. Even if you feel this isn't my home in a kind of religious setting, and you feel like I'm not good enough to get close to God, and there's no way for me to experience what I see other people of faith experiencing. No, this is good news for you, and a saviour is born to you. And maybe then the right response this Christmas is to do what the shepherds did. The shepherds didn't just sit there and go, well, that's interesting. I wasn't expecting that. The shepherds said, we better go and have a look. The shepherds went and saw Jesus. And my prayer for each one of us, and for me included, and for my family, is this Christmas, amongst everything else that's going on, we go and see. You know, we see Jesus. We actually experience that newborn child. We inspect him. We say, what's going on here? Who is this person? And what does it mean for me? Go and find Jesus this Christmas, even if you're not religious. Even if you don't think this is for you, you're not good enough. Even if you think you're banned from that kind of thing. This is for you. And maybe it's worth just making a moment of reflection, perhaps between lunch and the Queen's speech, or perhaps when everybody else is watching the Bond film. You can just go and sit quietly and think, well, let's go and see. Let's just look at Jesus and see what's going on here. And maybe just as the shepherds were welcomed and were part of that first nativity, you also might find yourself welcomed into the presence of God as you are, and being part of that Christmas scene.